The Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James, is an ancient pilgrimage route with many starting points in Europe, with the destination city of Santiago in northwest Spain. Many of you will have heard about it, where it's believed that the remains of the Apostle James, one of the two Jameses, are buried, where today there is a great cathedral. And even today, many people are walking a traditional route that pilgrims as far back as the 13th century walked in search of faith, some as part of penance for some great sin, or many just simply to gain some insight into the meaning of their lives. And the word insight contains the word sight, of course. And it's not physical sight, but something deeper, something spiritual, which all people must seek if we are to fully be ourselves. We don't have to go somewhere to gain this insight. God is offering it to us in many ways, especially in the difficulties of our lives. However, I will always be grateful that my wife insisted that we make the pilgrimage for the spiritual sight that stays with me even today, years later. We began in South Central France in a small town where a bishop gives a blessing for spiritual insight to pilgrims starting out. At one point, the way, while it's still in France there, at one point the way comes near the town of Lourdes, where the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to a girl whom we know as Saint Bernadette. And so we took a side trip there. I think I remember about a 30-minute train ride. So this is the place in Lourdes where you can line up. There is a place there, where you can line up with other pilgrims to go into a bath of water, the water which has been the source of many reported healings. We did not have time to go before, by the time we realized that this was there, we did not have time to go before our train, the once-a-day train, would leave and take us back to our route. But the man overseeing the lineup there, separate lineup for men and for women, for some reason, he wasn't exactly a pleasant, seeming person. He wasn't kind of smiling at people. But for some reason, he came up to me, leaning on the fence there, and he said, "Do you want to go into the water?" I said, "Well, I don't have time." He asked me again, "Do you want to go into the water?" "Sure," I said, "but we don't have enough time." Looked at my watch, looked at my wife. He just looked at me in the eye and he demanded more than asked, "Do you want to go into the water?" It's then that I realized that Jesus was asking me what I really want from him. Spiritual healing in the miraculous waters, or to keep to the schedule that I thought was so important. So I said, "Yes, I want to go in the water." And that experience was truly amazing. Talk about it another time. But afterwards, we ran as fast as we could to the station, and we literally missed getting on our train by about 10 seconds. In fact, the guy who was sort of organizing things on the station platform said that if you had just caught my eye, I would have stopped the train for you. It seemed, though, that God had disciplined me to make a choice for his way rather than my own. Jeremiah, the prophet, had to give a lot of bad news to Israel because of how they had wanted to walk in their own path with their own priorities rather than God's. However, today's reading from that prophet is one of consolation. God would bring back home the blind and the lame. They would be healed. Today, perhaps we can relate a little bit. In a sense, our people have been scattered by the pandemic and by the protocols that have been put in place. In a way, we have become exiles from one another and from the church. Perhaps we have become blind, maybe even a little bit, to what is most important. Blindness was very common in the Middle East, and it's a huge symbol of the spiritual state of people throughout all of sacred scripture, Old and New Testament. In the Gospels, we see that Jesus also identifies the difference between those who are physically blind but have their spiritual eyes wide open compared to those who can see physically but have entirely lost the vision of God's love and mercy and justice. To understand this final healing miracle in Mark's Gospel, it is important to understand that blindness is a symbol of spiritual ignorance. Physically, this miracle of giving blind Bartimaeus seems to follow other miracles as simply a healing, amazing as it is, demonstrating God's power to heal. The details are simple. Jesus is walking along, as he often is. People are following and listening to him, as they often are. They come across a blind beggar by the road, the poorest of the poor. He asks for his sight. Jesus gives it to him. The people are amazed, and the man is very happy. And I'm sure you know there's a lot more going on than just simply those facts. And it should be clear to us that it is not Mark's intent to simply impress us with Jesus' power to heal blindness. We kind of expect that, don't we? There are a series of much deeper spiritual insights that Mark's readers are to understand. Bartimaeus hears the crowd, and he asks who it is that's coming. We need to be ready to ask if God is passing close to us at a certain moment, at maybe this moment in our lives. They tell him it's Jesus of Nazareth, but the physically blind man begins to shout to the Son of David. And so he identifies immediately Jesus with his messianic title, the Messiah. Bartimaeus continues to shout after Jesus, even though the people try to silence him. I think you know that we will always be silenced by the world when we call out to Jesus. Our world has other priorities and often seeks to silence words directed towards God. What does the blind man shout? But, Son of David, have mercy on me. He doesn't ask for blindness or for healing for his blindness right away. Mercy is always in Scripture about healing from sin. Bartimaeus knows exactly what to ask for, and it attracts Jesus to him. And so Jesus calls for him to come, even though it would be easier for Jesus to go to him. Blind as he is, the beggar is fired up. He jumps up. He leaves his cloak behind, which is a symbol of worldly possessions, even though it's basically all he has. And then Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Doesn't Jesus know he's blind? Of course he does. But what's important here? It's important that the blind man ask for healing. God doesn't want to give you or I anything that we don't want for ourselves. Our Lord is always seeking us, but he wants to be convinced that we really need him. But only then, in answer to that question, does the blind man plead, "Teacher, let me see." Do you hear the hunger, the longing in him who has nothing? Can we say in our hearts today that we have this longing for the mercy of God? That's a question for us, isn't it? And Jesus says to him, "Your faith has made you well." Again, as in other places, God cannot or will not give us what we do not have faith in, what we do not see the possibility of in our God. Finally, in his joy, it says that the blind man followed Jesus. He followed Jesus, interestingly, the words are, he followed Jesus on the way. And we are being asked again today whether we will ask for God's mercy from the depths of our hearts and then to follow him on his way, not our way. So we still have Jesus asking us the same question. Do you want to see or not? Are you willing to plunge into the cold bath of renewal, or are you obsessed with your earthly concerns and your troubles, as important as they may seem? Are you ready to be freed from your sin and cry out for God's mercy? The writer of Hebrews tells us that sin puts shame on our relationship with God. In the ancient world, the role of priests was to mediate for the one who was alienated from God by sin, including himself. No wonder Jesus was so harsh with the leaders of the day. They were called and chosen, but we sometimes have it backwards. We try to look like we don't have any fault, and yet, how many times in our culture do we participate, or do we see how others are canceled, are shamed? Today's Psalm refrain will finish conclude with today's psalm refrain, which is for those who would desire God's mercy and to see again. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. You probably know that Amazing Grace is the most sung hymn ever. What is the refrain in that hymn? I was blind, but now I see. So, today again, brothers and sisters, shall we hear Jesus say to us, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man answers, Lord, that I may see. It is now to you and I that Christ is speaking. He asks us, what do you want me to do for you? Let us make a decision to follow him on the way. Let us say, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.